Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I'm really excited to welcome to the show digital marketing entrepreneur, speaker, and neuromarketer Chris Daly. Now, Chris gets very excited about helping businesses learn what their users want on their website, which is tricky, and he uses psychology-based testing and analytics to get there. So today he is going to share with you, our audience, what some of the big mistakes most marketers make are, why do businesses struggle to get people to convert, what are some of the things that influence online behavior, and some of the best marketing practices that companies can implement. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. It's good to have you here.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. You speak my language, so I'm always excited when I get to speak to another techie person. You know, I don't know about you, but I eat, dream, sleep, HTML, short codes, and a lot of people just go, what are you talking about? So here you are. But marketing is so important, and I've done a couple of interviews recently about how not to market. I mean, people are making some just egregious mistakes in marketing, mostly because they don't know what to do, and that's what I'm hoping that you can do today, is kind of share with people what they can do that really does make sense, it doesn't offend people, and that actually gets them to pay attention to you and convert. So listen, before we get started, tell people a bit about yourself, and then we'll rock and roll this thing, get off to the races. Two puns in one. Good for me.
I live out in Utah. I'm south of Salt Lake City, so it is very cold here. We've got lots of beautiful snow on the mountains. I love it here. And I've been in the digital marketing space for a little over 10 years now, which is crazy for me to think. I was actually just talking to some coworkers of mine yesterday about my first job in digital marketing, which I got by accident. I was in school at the time. I was looking for a job, just anything to get by, and bumped into a relative of mine that knew of a job, a sales position, selling at a digital marketing agency. And so I was like, what the heck? You know, I didn't really care about digital marketing. I just wanted the job. So I went down, interviewed, started doing sales for this digital marketing agency. And I just fell in love as I was selling. And I was selling SEO, which is not what I do now. But SEO really fascinated me because the whole idea behind search engine optimization is getting ranked on Google. And Google is something that everybody uses every single day. And so I didn't realize how much was going on behind the scenes. When I typed a search into Google, I didn't realize that there was a whole industry of people that were trying to make sure I was finding the best thing. So I applied for an internal job and got it and started doing search engine optimization. And the rest is kind of history. I mean, I spent a few years doing search engine optimization, which is all about just getting more traffic to your website. And I was of the opinion, which a lot of businesses are, which is if I can just get people to my website, I'll make money. You know, if I can get people to any website, then they will do what I want them to do. They'll purchase, they will sign up, they will whatever it is that I want, you know, that I'm wanting. And I got pretty frustrated after a couple of years in the industry because I was sending a lot of traffic to I was working in-house at a company and we were sending a lot of traffic to our website and not very much of it was converting. And so I was feeling frustrated, trying to figure out what's happening. Why are these people not converting? And that's when I discovered the industry that I am in now, that I've been in for the last 6 or 7 years, which is conversion rate optimization, figuring out what is it that people actually want to see when they come to your website. And this is something, you know, as you were talking about what not to do and hopefully getting into what to do, one of the most important questions that any business can ask, regardless of whether you're thinking about marketing or sales or what you're actually offering, one of the most important questions you can ask is, what are my customers wanting? You know, when I am offering my product, there is a list of probably 20 to 50 value propositions of what I'm offering. You know, my product or my service has a lot of value usually, and I can tell them a bunch of those value points, but what does my customer actually care about? Do they care about all 20 or all 50 of those value propositions, or do they only care about two of them? Like if I offer free shipping and my product is gluten-free and, you know, non-GMO and and animal cruelty-free and made in the USA and free returns, out of all those things, what do people actually care about? Maybe they only care about free returns. maybe they care about my price, and the fact that I'm having a discount today is a big deal to them. So, but if I can understand, if I can get into the heads of my customer, figure out what they actually want and what they actually care about, then I can do a better job of sharing with them that we have what they want. So that's something that my eyes were opened to when I discovered this industry of conversion rate optimization, was the only way to succeed on your website is to be asking questions like, what do my customers actually want to see when they come here?
So important. You've probably seen this as well, Chris. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but one of the biggest things that I come across, I'm a web developer primarily, and I have a small digital marketing agency, but I love to build websites. It's just a big passion with me. And invariably, I will say, okay, who is your target market? Oh, everybody. No. No, no, and no. So I want you to address that pretty soon, if you would, but keep on going.
Yeah. And so target market is a big deal, and you're absolutely right. Even if you are selling an iPhone, your target market is not everyone. You know, Apple does not target everyone with their phone. Even if you sell cereal or bananas, like, your target market is not everyone. If you're selling bananas, your target market is people that are health conscious, people that are, looking to for whatever nutrients it is that bananas offer, people that like the taste of bananas, or people that that eat fresh food. And that is not everyone. And so understanding, what am I selling? What am I offering? What is my service? And who is likely going to be purchasing this? That's the other thing, too, is, you know, if I'm selling bananas, I'm not selling to children. I'm selling to adults. And so understanding who it is that I am marketing to can help me frame my messaging, right? And so this is something that I learned a lot as I was working in-house. About 4.5, almost 5 years ago, I realized how big of a challenge this was, how many companies were really struggling to figure out how to market their website and who to market their website to and how to get somebody to convert. So about 5 years ago, I started my digital marketing agency, which, after about two years of running my business, I merged with the company that I'm at now, which is Disruptive Advertising. So that's kind of my backstory. But to go back into your question for just a second, understanding your audience is something that you can do intellectually. So, like, you know, a lot of times when I'll go and I'll start working with clients, I'll ask, so tell me how you got to your current website design. And this is how most businesses will design their websites. They'll either hire a design agency and, hire somebody who is a UX expert or user experience expert, and say, hey, let's design something that is going to look really great, that will have a great user experience. And then they'll start going through the data that they have. So they either have data based on their current customers. So they'll say, well, our customers are this age. They live in this part of the country. They have this amount of income. They're interested in these types of things. And then what they will do is they'll go and find, okay, well, so if we are targeting middle-aged women with, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 a year income who are interested in fitness, then they'll go and figure out, well, what do people who are interested in fitness, what kind of websites do they shop on? And then they'll try to copy that. they will try to copy that. Or the other approach to building a website is just finding your biggest competitor and doing what they're doing. Now, the challenge with this is this is a better approach than just designing a random website. But the challenge with this is your audience may not be exactly the same as your competitor, even if you're selling the exact same product, because you have a unique brand. You have a unique value proposition, and it might even be we sell the exact same product for the exact same price, but there is some reason that people are buying from you or else you wouldn't be in business. And so if you can understand what your unique value proposition is and then how to identify yourself uniquely in the market, you can be miles ahead of your competition even if you're selling the exact same product. So that's one of the things, as I start working with businesses, we start understanding, okay, you may have the exact same product as your competitor or maybe a slightly different product than your competitor. How can we help you stand out in the market? What is it that we can do on your website that is unique, that is going to attract your customers to come and stay on your website and not just go to your competitor's site? So those are some fun questions that, you know, we can dig into a little bit more, but those are some fun things that I get to help businesses with every day.
And listen, I agree with you. You know, your value proposition is absolutely important. We live in the know, like, and trust economy. You know, it used to be that you would have to wait, you know, for the big book of, you know, okay, you can buy this. What was that, Consumer Reports or something? You know, that was pretty much the go-to book. You know, do you want to buy a car? Do you want to buy a washing machine? You had to wait for Consumer Reports to come out. Then, of course, and came along, you know, along came Yelp and review sites like that. But the thing is, we all have our value proposition. And my attitude, and maybe it's the wrong attitude, I don't know, but this serves me and it serves my clients, is that people really do want to get you to know you and really to like you and to trust you. They want to be able to come back again and again and, you know, take your recommendations or buy your products or engage you for services or hire you as a coach, a mentor, whatever it is. And unless or until you get that kind of connection with people, I think in many ways you're just spitting into the wind. How far off am I?
Oh, you're absolutely, I think you're absolutely right there. And there's, it even goes a step further, you know, to just add on to what you're saying, it goes a step further because people wouldn't even click, you know, if somebody goes to Google and they search for something and you show up, either you have an ad that shows up or you have, or your website shows up organically, or let's say that you're on Facebook and you're marketing to somebody and you have an ad that pops up. They wouldn't click on and end up at your website if they didn't have something that they needed and if they didn't think that you had what they were looking for, right? They wouldn't have even come to your site in the first place. And so the fact that they're there means that they're interested in something. They're interested in investigating. And like you said, they're interested in getting to know your brand. And so one of the most critical things is that they can figure out that you have what they're looking for quickly. There's been a lot of psychological studies that have been done about how much time people are willing to spend on a website. And there's some really fascinating studies out there, but one of the ones that really interested me was that visitors that are coming to a website for the first time, or in other words, they haven't been exposed to your website before, they're willing to give your website 3 to 5 seconds. That's how long it takes them to form an opinion about whether or not they think you have what they're looking for before they leave. So a lot of people that bounce from a website, and bounce is a term that marketers use to describe somebody that comes to your website and then just immediately leaves, it's a very short time frame that you have to convince someone to stay and to dig further. And so it's critical that in a very short amount of time, somebody is able to find your value proposition, find what it is that you actually do and why they should stay on your website and why they should explore more and why they should click into some of your other pages. And so that is part of the challenge that most businesses have, is how do we show people quickly, efficiently, and in a manner that will resonate with them? How do we tell them what it is that we do and why they should stay here?
Do you have any case studies you can share? Because this is a problem for a lot of people. I'm working on a website right now, and I'm not having an argument with a client. Actually, I mean, I never do that, but I'm trying to convince her that putting a whole bunch of this nonsense that she wants to put up there is not going to convert. You know, she wants to make it all about her, what her services are, what she does. And I keep telling her, you don't understand what people want. Let me try this one more time. When people get to your website, they need for you to solve a problem or fix a pain point for them. They don't care who you are. Not yet. They need to understand what it is that you can do that will assist them or help them or move them forward. Nobody cares about your certificates. Nobody cares that I'm a web developer. Nobody, well, they do, but they don't care that I have a computer science degree. Who cares? They just want to know, can I build them a gorgeous website? I can. So, but they need to know that right away. So I would love some case studies or just some pointers for our audience. What does need to go on that index page? And by the way, let's talk about this a bit if we can. The index page, the home page, is not necessarily the first place people are going to find you, and a lot of people don't understand that as well. They're going to find you through search engine terms or tags that you've got on the site. They may come in on the contact form. They may come in on the services page. So every page has to be gorgeous, and it has to get to the point.
Yeah, so you bring up a really great point, and I want to touch on each of those points.
Oh, thank you. I know I threw a lot at you all at once. Sorry about that.
No, one of the things that you mentioned that I love is understanding people's point of entry on your site or their landing page that they're going to end up on. And you're right. Most people consider that the home page. And in the vast majority of cases, your home page is going to be the most trafficked page on your site, because your home page is usually what is going to rank organically. However, you're absolutely right. If you have done a good job on your website, they should be finding a lot of other pages on your site. And so I'll share two different experiences that I had with businesses recently on two different pages of the site. The first one being the home page. So I'm working with a client. I just got back from traveling out to California to visit this client. That is in the mortgage industry, which is a really tough industry to be in right now, by the way. We've been working with them for a couple of years now. And we were taking a look at the homepage, and we wanted to understand what is it that people need to see on the homepage in order to proceed further. And this was a very simple question that we wanted to ask. And this is something that I think is really important for businesses to do. When you're looking at your website, if you're thinking about changing something, instead of looking at it and saying, what should be here, it's critical, and this is an exercise I go through every single day, it's critical to ask a question instead of coming up with a solution immediately. So if you ask a question, and here's a very simple question that every business can ask: what value propositions should I have on my landing page? Right? So We took a look at the home page here was in question, and on the home page, at the top of the home page, they had three value propositions that were listed that were up on their hero banner up at the top of the home page. And those three value propositions that they had selected for their home page touted all of their credibility. Like you were just saying, you know, it was like fourth largest lender in the country and all of the different loan types that they facilitate, and the number, like the dollar amount, like $5 billion in loans supported in the last year or whatever. All of these metrics that to them sounded really great and sounded like reasons why people should work with them. So my question that I asked was, what value propositions should we have there? Are those the right three value propositions to put there? So what we started doing, we started a brainstorm of what are all the value propositions that we could put there? What could we say about your business? Why would people want to work with you? So we came up with a list, and there was quite a few things on there. And so then what we did is we created a test. So this is what I do for a living, is we created an A-B test. And what an A-B test is we have the existing site, which is version A, the existing website. Then we duplicated the homepage, and we created a new version, version B. And on version B, instead of having their existing three value propositions, we tried some other ones. Best customer service, like get a quote in less than 5 minutes, no hassle, no obligation, whatever. We wanted to try to soothe people's anxiety that they might have about working with a mortgage lender. Then we created another version, version C, that focused on some other value propositions, right? So literally all we're doing is just changing the text and the icons that we're listing up at the top of the page. Fairly simple to set up. The hard part for most businesses is thinking through and approaching this with a testing mindset, with a question in mind instead of a solution. So we ran this test, and the client, by the way, was fairly skeptical because they're like, all we're doing is just changing some text and some boxes. Well, when we finished the test, conversion rates had increased by 20%. 20% increase.
That's considerable.
Just by changing some verbiage that we had listed on the homepage. And what this told us was, again, the landing page that people are coming in on, the stuff that we have up at the top of the landing page was not resonating as well as it could have been. And so by showing value propositions that people were more interested in, we were able to create an experience that resonated. So that was one experience. Then, so it's like, well, what if people aren't coming in on my homepage? What if they're coming in on my services page or whatever? So I had a client that was the case. They were sending most of their traffic to one of the internal pages on their site. This was a client that was in the medical industry. And there was a couple of assumptions that they had made. Number one, they made an assumption that people wanted to know who their leadership was. So they had a picture of the leadership team up at the top of the site. And the other assumption that they had made is, well, our audience is, we're marketing to doctors, and doctors are smart, and doctors are technical. And so they had a bunch of technical jargon on the site and a bunch of big medical terms that I couldn't even pronounce, but that apparently their audience was able to understand. So they have those two assumptions that were on the site. People need to know who we are and who our leadership team is, and they also want these big medical technical terms on the site. So again, we approached this with a question.
Well, it seems reasonable on the face of it. It seems perfectly reasonable.
Sure. It's a very long
But it didn't work, assumption. Did it? Right.
It didn't work. So we ran a test to figure out what should there be on the page in terms of imagery, and what kind of content do they want? Do they want simplistic content or technical industry-specific content? And again, we ran an A-B test. We had a few different versions. And after a couple of tests, we found out, A, people don't even want an image on the page at all. We tried other images, and other images didn't work either. What worked the best was just removing the image, which actually surprisingly led to about a 40% increase in conversion rates just from removing the image, which told us that image was extremely distracting and wasn't resonating with people. And then we also found out that by using more simplistic language on the page converted substantially better. And so we broke down a couple of assumptions that the business had about their audience, And we're able to challenge that and find out that actually that's not what people want. Even though these are doctors we're marketing to, the simpler we can make the page, the easier it is for them to process and think about it, and the more likely they are to convert. So these were just some really interesting cases where, like you mentioned earlier, you need to make sure that every place that somebody is going to enter your website, every landing page that you have, that you understand what people need to see on that page and how much of it they want to see in order for them to ultimately take the step to converting.
And I'm so glad you brought that up about simplifying things, because listen, doctors are busy. We're all busy. We don't have time to sit and read text-heavy pages. We just don't. We want to be able to scan. We want headlines. We want H2 tags, H1 tags. We can explain those if we need to. Bullet points. People are going to scan. I scan. Just give me the meat. I'll pick out what I need, and if I can, want to stay and learn more, I'll stay. But if you're going to make me read a dissertation, I am gone. And I don't think I'm alone in that.
Yeah, and here's one thing that's interesting is there have been some cases where I've run tests like this. I'll give you an example. I met a few years ago. I met Mike Stelzner, who runs Social Media Examiner. So it's the largest social media marketing blog on the planet. And he reached because he had heard me on a podcast, actually. And he said, "Hey, I'm interested in what you do. I'd like to test on my site." So we started running some tests on the social media marketing, the Social Media Examiner site. And one of the first tests that we ran was on a pop-up on his website. So he had a pop-up that had a really great offer. It was like his last year's industry report. It had all kinds of data on social media trends and the areas
that
we shouldn't be focused
on. I'm laughing because I have it. I downloaded it.
Yeah, and it's great. There's a lot of great data in there, and they spend a ton of time curating that data every single year to make sure it's up to date. So fantastic offer. People loved it. People were responding to it. So one of the first questions I wanted to ask there was, on the pop-up that features this, how much content do they want? How much information do they want about this industry report? And my assumption was, like my hypothesis was, they want less information because, like you just mentioned, people want simple. They want easy. They want faster, usually. And so we ran a test on the content in the pop-up. So we had one version that had more information, one version that had less information, one version that had the same information but just organized into bullet points. And ultimately, what this audience wanted, to my surprise, was they wanted more information. they wanted more details. And this was surprising to me because, again, in general, usually people have too much information on their site and you need to simplify. But in this case, this audience was very interested in what was going to be contained in this guide. And the more information we gave, the more people converted. And so it's really important, to approach these with questions.
Right. And that leads me back to what I was saying at the top of the show about the know, like, and trust factor. They have that in spades. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe there's a psychological reason there why people, they're already there. They already like the content. They're visiting regularly. They're on the list, the newsletter list. Maybe they just wanted to go, Yeah, okay. Am I getting the Gucci or am I getting the Dooney and Burke here? What's the difference here?
Right.
So that would be, a good question. I don't know. It just popped into my head that maybe that's part of it because they are so huge and they are so well known.
Absolutely. So that's, again, going back to kind of what you brought up at the beginning, it's really important that even if you know who your audience is, that you continue learning about them. And not just make a bunch of assumptions, saying, well, because I know who my audience is, I know exactly what they want. Because, we knew who the audience was, but we didn't know exactly how much of everything they wanted. And so just having this open-minded kind of learning approach where you're constantly learning, you're constantly improving, you're constantly challenging your assumptions is something that helps businesses that really convert well stand out miles above their competition because they're constantly willing to learn.
And that is true. I mean, I've watched them for years. I don't like to have a whole lot of lists that I have to, you know, log in, pay attention to, or I'm pretty fussy about what newsletters I'll get on, but I've been on theirs for years and years. And that's why, because they're constantly innovating. It's not the same old. Look, I've been on some lists of pretty heavy-duty marketers, and after a while I'm like, really? This is the same stuff you did last year. Come on now, let's come up with something new. So I think that's a big mistake, is not staying relevant in your market, not maybe reaching out to your market, the people who have bought from you, who do follow you, and saying, look, I know you've bought from me in the past, and you know, I really don't want to just kind of repackage the same old stuff. What do you want to see from me? And I find that asking those questions and staying in touch with your market is really, really helpful. So if some of these companies want to stay in touch with their clients, their consumers, what are some of the best ways to do that? What are some of the practices?
Yeah, so there's a couple things, and I think you're absolutely right. It's important to make sure that you are actively soliciting feedback from your audience. So one tool that I really love that I use on websites regularly is called Hotjar. Hotjar is a heat mapping and surveying tool that you can use on your website. So when I say a heat mapping tool, what it will do is it will track where people are clicking on your page. You put it on your homepage, you can see exactly what buttons did they click, what images did they try to click on, you know, where in the menu are they clicking, which can help you understand, like, what is it the people were doing here? What is it that people are really interested right now? And also what you can do with this tool is you can survey your audience. You can either survey them if they're leaving, so like an exit survey, and you can ask a question like, what were you hoping to find today that you didn't find? Or, you know, what could we have done a better job of? Or you can put it on your thank you page maybe after somebody signed up, and you can say, what was it that ultimately led you to sign up today? And you can either just have it be an open form response, which I find is the most helpful, but it's the hardest to go back and analyze. but it's most helpful because you're not like predisposing somebody to an answer. Or you can say, here are some reasons why people typically sign up. Which ones of these were the most important to you? You know, and it could be like the quality of our product or service, or the reviews that we have listed, or the price, or you know, like whatever it is. You can list those things out. So that is incredibly helpful, and I call that qualitative data gathering. You're gathering data that people are they're giving you qualified quality feedback based on their experience. And that's incredibly helpful. And what that can help you do is it can help point you in the right direction. If there's something that people really like on your site, do more of that. If there's something that people don't like on your site, try less of that and see if you can start influencing the way people behave. But this is one of the things I wanted to bring up. I'm reading this book, Think Like a Freak, right now. It's by the guys that wrote the Freakonomics book. And I love this book because they talk about approaching life with a kind of like a testing mentality. And one of the things that they highlight in there is something that economists call revealed preferences. So preferences that people have that they are willing to share. And then I don't remember exactly how they term it, but something that I would call a hidden preference, or something that people either are not willing to share or maybe they're not even conscious of enough to share. So I'll give you an example. So revealed preferences are things that you can gather from a survey. So if I ask people, why did you leave? Their revealed preferences are things that they will tell me. I didn't like this. I didn't like this. I didn't like this. But sometimes there are hidden preferences that people may not even be aware of. So, for example, when I go to a website, my brain is analyzing dozens, if not hundreds, of different things about the site. The things that I'm conscious of are, do I like the price? Do I like the product? maybe does this site feel trustworthy to me? The things that I might not be aware of, or I might not be consciously aware that I'm analyzing, are things like, do I know what I'm supposed to do on this site? Do I feel like an idiot right now? Is there so much content that I'm feeling anxious? I might be feeling anxiety inside. Am I feeling distracted by elements on the site? Now, sometimes I can be conscious of that if there's something that's really distracting, but usually I'm not conscious of the fact that I'm feeling distracted. I'm just naturally getting distracted by an image that you have on the page, or by other offers. So the hidden preferences, these ones that people are not really aware of, those are the things that you can only discover by running a test, by running an A-B test on the site. Because I could ask people all day long why they like my site or why they don't like my site, but if they're just feeling distracted when they come to my site and they're not even aware of the fact that they're feeling distracted, I might never find that out unless I run a test on my site and try removing some things from my site and see what happens. So this is one of the first tests that I usually run with my clients. I call it an existence test. And an existence test is really aimed to determine what should and should not be on my site. And so when I say existence, what we're doing is we are systematically going through and removing things from a website. And clients always feel a little bit nervous about this because it's like, oh, what if I remove some content that's really important to my SEO rankings? Or what if I remove an image that that I really want there? But again, what we're trying to do is we're just trying to learn. We're trying to figure out what's helping and what's hurting conversion rates. And so we did this with...
And it can all be restored. If they get really anxious, yeah. You can restore everything. It's not dead. I mean, it didn't leave and go to heaven. It's still there.
Yes, absolutely. And we have clients sometimes where we will say, hey, removing this from your site increased conversion rates by 10%. And they'll say, oh, that's great. Well, we want it anyways. But at least now they're doing that from an informed standpoint. So we did this with a client of ours that sold products. And they had hundreds of products that they sold. So on their home page, they had listed out like 20 or 30 different categories of products that you could buy from them. So we ran an existence test to figure out how many of these categories should we have on the home page. Like, it was like pictures and categories and even pricing on some of these products on their home page. So we wanted to figure out how many of these should be there. So we created, we ran an A-B test where we had like four or five different versions of their homepage, where we had removed different sections of categories or different sections of products from the homepage. And out of those different versions of their homepage, almost all of them increased conversion rates. So they got more clicks, they got more visitors to product pages, and they sold more products. By removing things from their home page, which again seems really counterintuitive. But what we learned from that is we have too much on our home page. We've got too many products and people are getting distracted. Because, if you go to a page that has a ton of products listed, even if you see something that you like, it's like, oh, well, I like that, but there's so many other things here. I need to go look at all these other things before I make my decision. And before you know it, you've spent 5 minutes and now you're distracted and now you've no longer even clicked on that thing that you were initially interested in. And then I ultimately don't buy something. So again, it's so critical that we figure out how much do people want? How much of our products do people want to see? How much of our content do they want to see? How much of our value propositions do they want to see? Where do they want to see these? Right? Do they want to see it on the homepage or on the product page or on a contact us page? It's just a really fun, I call it like evolutionary site design, where your site is evolving as you discover and understand your audience's preferences.
Oh, exactly. I was told some years ago by a salesperson that basically, and I can't remember if this was a real estate person or a car sales, I can't remember. But I remember this person saying, don't ever show anybody more than three of anything. You'll just confuse them and they'll leave. And that stuck work with me, because that's about right. I mean, I was getting a little bit anxious when you were talking about all the things on that page. I was itching to hit my keyboard and go, never do this. You know, but I totally get it. You know, give me the big picture and let me follow the map that you have laid out. If your navigation is working properly and you're leading people where you want them to go, they'll go. But don't overwhelm us. I've done that. I've walked off and went back and went, hang on a second, what was I even looking at? What was that thing I needed so badly an hour ago? All right, it's gone. If I can't remember it, clearly I didn't need it. But, yeah, I mean, I get that. So I guess what you're saying is simpler is better. Simplify the user experience as best as you can.
Yeah, you want to simplify it, and you want to figure out exactly how simple you want it to be, right? Because I've seen companies that simplify so much that suddenly they don't have everything their audience wants and conversion rates drop. And they're confused why, because they go, all we did is simplify our website. Why did our conversion rates change? It's because they oversimplified. So again, you want to figure out what is the most simplistic way I can give people what they're looking for, and then I want to refine and fine-tune from there to figure out, should I do more, should I do less, do I have the right amount?
And this is an ongoing process, isn't it, Chris? I mean, you can't just kind of go, okay, we got it. Our conversion rates are good. We're doing well. Okay, we're done. You can't just let it sit. You have to constantly be polling your people, asking your audience how you can be a better, service to them, and, doing those testings. So what do you recommend that people do? Should they have maybe a system where they're set up to kind of do an A/B test every 6 months or every year? Or, what do you recommend?
Yeah, so that really kind of depends on how much traffic you're sending to your website. I'll tell you, to take a step back, in general, people's behavior online shifts about every 8 to 12 months. And when I say people's behavior shifts, I mean the way people shop, the way people engage, the way they respond to website design shifts about every 8 to 12 months, because the web is just a rapidly evolving place. And so about every 8 to 12 months, there's new best practices. There are things that people now are seeing everywhere, where before, like, you may have had a very innovative feature on your website. Like, I imagine there's, like, those parallax scrolling websites. Like, the websites, when you scroll down, there's, like, an image that, like, scrolls up and down the page with you, and it looks very fancy. And I imagine that whoever came up with that idea first, whoever created, like, the first parallax website design, probably had a very innovative website, and people were really impressed when they first went there. Now you see those types of websites all over the place, and so it's no longer innovative. Right, and so that kind of attention-grabbing feature that used to be really interesting and really cool is now starting to become just the standard. And so,
and annoying.
About every eight,
I always hated
yeah,
those.
And annoying, right? Right. And so, about every 8 to 12 months, your audience's behavior has now shifted and is very different from what it was a year ago. That doesn't mean that they no longer want your product. Just the way that they want to find out about your product, the way they want to be educated about your product is slightly different. And so you want to make sure that you're testing often enough to understand when those shifts in behavior happen. So at minimum, you want to be testing at least once a year. But what I usually recommend is regular testing. I mean, on a monthly basis. And this is where I go back to what I said at first. The amount of traffic that you have will largely determine how often you can test. Because if I get 2,000 visitors to my website per month, if I run a test, if I run an A versus B test, I'm going to need to let that test run for a while, probably a couple of months before I get any reliable data back. But if I'm getting hundreds of thousands of visitors to my site every month, I can usually learn very quickly, like in a week or two. I can learn what is working on an A versus B test, and I can make a very informed decision. And so the more traffic you get, the more frequently you want to be testing. And the beautiful thing is you'll never run out of things to test because if I run a test, so I'll give you an example of, I mentioned evolutionary site design. So I talked about what I do with existence testing, where I will test removing things from a website. This sounds like a scary test because it's like, well, what if I remove something that was really helpful? And you brought up, well, I can keep it on there. And not only that, but if I remove something, so let's say that you have a section for reviews on your product page. And let's say I remove those reviews and conversion rates drop. So like my conversion rates go down. Well, this sounds really scary because it's like, oh no, but you have some traffic going there that converted lower. Yes, there's a slight decrease that we took, but what we learned was so valuable for us because now I know that reviews are very important for my audience. And so now what I want to do is my next test, I want to try focusing even more attention on reviews. If I know that reviews are helpful, maybe I want to like call a ton of attention to my reviews. Maybe I want to put one of them up above the fold on my website so that when people get there, they see one of my reviews. Maybe I want to have a big, huge arrow pointing to the reviews saying, read our reviews. maybe I want to just call a ton of attention there. And so by learning what people wanted on my site, I can now do more of that thing that they like and call even more attention there so that my site is constantly being refined and fine-tuned. And so, like I mentioned, we've worked with some of our clients for several years now, and we're still testing every single month because we're continuing to learn what people want and we're continuing to refine. And, now it's 8 months later and their preferences have shifted. And so now let's continue to refine and make sure that we're capitalizing on that. So it's a very fun, constant improvement is my mantra there.
And see, I think that's something really important that you just said is constant improvement. And listen, I work with many of my clients, same thing. Most of my web development clients have been with me for a decade or better. I mean, I built their original websites. We've, tweaked them. We've rebuilt them multiple times. I do their social media marketing. And that's just, we give really good value. But, and I'm going to out myself on the radio, my website is awful. I haven't touched it. And I know, isn't this awful? So I'm actually doing this with a purpose because now that I'm telling my audience that my website sucks, it's old, it's outdated, now I have to do something about it, right? So this is my New Year thing. It's like I'm going to get out there and rebuild. I've got 3 websites of my own that I'm like the cobbler with no shoes. It's just really ridiculous. So I am guilty of not putting any of the information you're giving us into practice in my own business, but I do it for my clients. So I am so delighted that you're here today to get me off of my little comfort bubble and get those things, because I've got to do some testing. I've got to rebuild, and I'm definitely wanting to do some testing. And I used to. I used to do the testing, and I just haven't done it because, you just get so busy. Big excuse, right? Oh, I'm so busy with my client stuff. That ends. That ends today. That ends this month. So, look for an email from me in about a month. Go, look what I did. So, and, I will share that with you because I'm really taking a lot of inspiration from you today.
Yeah, and I love what you said, which, the perfect time to start doing this is now, because doing testing is very easy to procrastinate. Most of the people that we start working with have, either have wanted to test or used to test in the past and either didn't see great results, so they just stopped, or saw great results and then just put it on the back burner. And it's very easy to procrastinate because as business owners, as marketers, we are usually focused on a couple of big things. Like if we have an online business, we're usually focused on getting more traffic, making sure that we are putting money into PPC to drive traffic through Google or through Facebook, We're focused on what our actual product is. We're focused on our existing clients and feedback that we're getting and how to make our service better or major problems that are coming up in our business. Those are the big, hairy problems that we're facing as business owners, as marketers. And so this is, you know, if you remember the four quadrants from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, you know, quadrant one is things that are urgent and important. And those, the urgent and important things are usually things we spend the most time on in our businesses. Quadrant two is things that are not urgent, but important. And that's where testing fits in. It's something that's not urgent because it doesn't seem like a huge problem unless our website's broken. And then it's like, oh, this is a huge problem. But usually it's something that's not really urgent, but it's very important. And so with those things that are not urgent and are very important, like refining your website, continuously improving, you need to just make it happen. You can't wait for the perfect time to come up because there will never be the perfect time to do something that is not urgent. But I've seen businesses that have doubled their conversion rates in a very short time frame by starting to test. And if you think about that, that's a lot of money that they are now making that they would not have made if they hadn't started testing. So there's tons of efficiencies that you can find in your business if you are willing to just make it happen.
Now, Chris, this doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, for people who are selling products. I mean, I don't sell products. I'm creating products now, but what I sell right now are services. Doesn't mean I don't want more visitors and more conversions. So let's talk about the differences between products and services and how you can, you know, kind of help with A/B testing in those two very different markets.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I sell a service as well. And so, you know, and we're doing testing on our site constantly. And honestly, the principles are exactly the same. The way that you execute those principles is going to be different. So obviously, you know, I've mentioned some examples of clients that sell products, and there's certain things that are going to be very important there. You know, you're going to have pricing, you're going to have the imagery of the product itself. You're going to have a very well-defined funnel, you know, homepage, category page, product page, cart, and then checkout. On a services type of website, there are some things that you want to take into consideration. So number one, you need to understand how much information do people need to know before they're willing to convert. So this is something that we've constantly been experimenting with on our own site, right? We're an agency. We sell a service. Are people ready to fill out a form on the homepage? And the answer is sometimes. Sometimes some people are willing to fill out a form on our homepage, and it would be really easy for us to not even have a form or a call to action on our homepage because we might say, well, they need to know a lot about us before they're willing to convert. And that's not always the case. If we can do a good job explaining that we have what they're looking for, a lot of people are willing to convert on the homepage. So again, you need to understand, and this can be through asking your audience, or it can be through testing, and preferably both, by saying, where should we put our call to action? Where should we put our form? So that if people want to fill out a lead form to get a free audit or a free consultation, where should we put that? And then the other things that are really important to understand are, if I put a form on my homepage, for example, are those good quality leads for me, right? Like, And how many questions should I ask them? How many form fields should I ask them? Because the data shows that the more form fields you ask for, the less people convert and the better quality your leads are, right? So the shorter my form is, the more people are going to fill it out and the more low-quality people I'm going to get. And so that's just like a constant balancing act for businesses of, do we want to ask for more information and get less people, but they're more qualified leads? Do we want to ask for less information, so maybe just like name, phone number, email, and we'll get a lot more form submissions, but our sales team has to go through and work all of those leads? that's a major consideration that you need to weigh in your business, and you need to understand what your capacities are. And then the other thing that's really important for service-based businesses, and this is more of just like a general marketing principle, you need to understand how much am I willing to spend to get a customer. Because if I understand how much I'm willing to spend, so if my average client is $1,500 a month, then maybe I say, okay, I'd be willing to spend $1,500 to get that client because they're going to be a monthly recurring client. So if I can spend $1,500 to get that client, how much should I be putting into paid advertising? And how many of those people do I need to convert? Like what percentage of people do I need to convert? That can help me understand what should my conversion rate be on my website. And if it's not high enough, I need to test and I need to improve my conversion rate. If my conversion rates are high enough, or maybe they're too high, then I can start refining my site. And maybe I expand my form. I make it longer. I ask for more detailed questions so that now my conversion rate might go down a little bit and I'll get better quality leads. So there are some really interesting refinements that need to happen on a services website, and the principles are the same. You want to be constantly improving. You want to understand what people want, how much of it they want, and where they want to see it. And all of that can be discovered and improved on by testing.
And see, I love what you're talking about, the forms. I had this exact, conversation with a client recently, and I was saying, well, are you offering, I was just asking. I wasn't saying offer free consultations. I was just asking, have they or, were they willing? What are they interested in? And he referenced a lot of the things that you just spoke of. Like, we have to spend so much time qualifying these leads. It almost became a full-time job, so we quit doing it. But you just brought up some really interesting questions in my mind. I think that their forms or their offer for a free consultation simply wasn't specific enough. I don't think that they were, and I'll have to ask him. I'm writing down a whole bunch of questions to ask now, but, did he qualify them by income bracket? Did he qualify them by, whatever particular service or services, because he has multiple that he offers? It seems to me he just didn't refine it, and I'll have to ask, but it seems to me he just said, okay, we'll do a free consultation, and then quickly got overwhelmed, which I've seen time and time again.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so we are down to about a minute or so. Is there anything that you kind of wanted to summarize or recap before we go off the air?
I will just say, so I put together a starter guide for people that, as they're listening to the show, think, I need to A/B test. I don't really know where to start. I have a guide for people that they can download at our site that goes through what tools we recommend. The first few tests that you might want to think about. And so you can download that for free at disruptiveadvertising.com/guide. And that's a really helpful place for people to start if they're feeling like they need to start doing this.
Excellent. I was actually going to ask you where people could find you, so thank you for sharing the link. Is there any place else that you like to connect with people, LinkedIn, Facebook? Where are some of your favorite platforms where people can reach out?
Yeah, so I probably spend most time on LinkedIn. So, yeah, I would love for people to, if people want to send a message or questions that they have, my name is Chris Daly, last name is D-A-Y-L-E-Y. And I would love to respond to any questions, comments that people have, or for more information, I'd be happy to share from other sources.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for being my guest today. And, it's been a genuine pleasure speaking with you. And I was scribbling notes like a crazy person. I can't wait to get the transcription of this one. So I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience. And seriously, watch, because I will be sending you an email, go, look what I did, and I did it because of you. So I'm excited. I've really known for quite some time that my websites were not working for me, that they're old, they're outdated, and my big excuse is always, I'm working so hard for other people. Well, I'm going to work hard for me now, and I thank you for that. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
You can find Denise Griffiths at your office on theweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.